tonight, Brother Daniel Steers, my new speaker to our call. Brother Daniel preaches for the Warner Robins Church of Christ in Warner Robins, Georgia. He's married to Katrina Steersman. They have two teenage sons, Jackson and Drew. He also teaches classes for the Florida School of Preaching, Georgia School of Preaching, Georgia School of Theology, Bear Valley Graduate School. All these schools, that all the speakers on our call that come from these great schools of churches of Christ. He also writes for the Gospel Advocate, Apologetic Press, the Gospel Journal, and all those associates we've been involved with our call. Very sound. I'm confident he's going to bring a great lesson tonight. At this time, without any further ado, Brother Daniel Steersman, Finding Christ Church. How to know when you found her? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. All right, Brother Daniel, we're waiting to hear from you.
Thank you, brother. It's so good to be with you tonight. And I'd like to say a warm greeting to all those listening tonight. So good to hear Brother Stone on tonight. And just a wonderful opportunity to be with you and to open up God's Word and to dig in. I want to ask you tonight to think with me about some important things about this question about finding Christ Church. How would you know when you found Christ Church? Think with me about this for just a moment. There's some things in life we simply cannot afford to miss out on. There's some things in life we simply cannot afford to get them wrong. When you think about things that we enjoy in life, whether it be sports or whether it be recreation or things like that, you could miss out on a Super Bowl. You could miss out on an NCAA championship. It could be that you graduated from high school, but you missed the graduation ceremony. But there's certain things in life you don't want to miss out on at all. We cannot afford to miss out on who God is, on who Jesus Christ is, or on the identity of the Holy Spirit. We can't miss out on these things. We should spend time knowing God, loving Him, finding His wisdom, and worshiping Him. We simply cannot afford to miss out on the glorious news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus has come, and He's most certainly coming again. We must make haste. We must make ready. We cannot afford to get the identity wrong concerning Christ Church. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This bride, this church, is who Christ died for. This bride, this body, is who Christ purchased with His own precious blood. This body is both a pillar and the support of truth. I'm going to ask you to think with me about this for just a moment. The Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in South Hamilton, Massachusetts, has a center for the study of global Christianity. They estimate that there are some 45,600 denominations worldwide among some 4.1 million congregations. Think about this. If you visited a different church every Sunday for the entirety of your life, let's say that from the moment you were born, every Sunday you visited a different denomination. That would make 52 churches a year. If you did the math on this, you'd need to live some 877 years before you could visit all 45,600 denominations that exist in the world. How is it that you and I could find the right church? You might look at that number and you think, well, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. I want you to think with me very carefully tonight about how you might go about finding the Lord's church, the church for which Christ died, the church for which He purchased with His own blood. When you have conversations with different people, they may say at times things like this. You know, you need to find a church that fears God. You need to find a church that has a respect for Christ. You may need to find, someone may say to you, you need to find a church that's a Bible-believing church. But we may have friends or neighbors or loved ones who say, you know, you don't need to get too deep in the weeds. You don't need to get caught up in the details. Just love Christ and have a faith in Him. Some people believe that just any church will do. Any of the 45,600 would do. But is that Christ's opinion? Is that the opinion of the Lord who died and purchased that church with His own precious blood? the Lord is coming back to save her. And it's important that we dig into the scriptures and ask questions, not so much about our opinion, but what is the church that Jesus would choose? Take the community you live in tonight. Where exactly should you land? You might drive down different streets in your community tonight and you see different bodies on different corners and different sizes of different buildings, and you may look in your community and you may see buildings that are massive, multi-million dollar structures that are quite ornate. You may be aware of certain activities going on in these buildings, and maybe they have gigantic youth groups, and maybe they have tremendous outreach, and maybe they are doing all these things that seem so appealing to the community with so many different names and so many different beliefs and so many different practices. Just how exactly are we going to know? Just how exactly are we going to find out what and where? How are we going to identify Christ's church? So imagine you had the Lord sitting in front of you tonight and you were to ask Jesus, Jesus, out of all these bodies that are out in communities all over this nation, all over the world, Jesus, where's your church? Where are your people? I hope tonight that your prayer and your goal is to find the church that Jesus purchased with his own precious blood. Can I suggest to you tonight a couple things that will help us as we venture into this journey this evening? First of all, I would like you to consider that in finding Christ's church, it is a matter of truth and loyalty. We have an elder in our congregation here in Warner Robins. He's originally from Jamaica, and he says this, it's not just a matter of can I find a Bible in your church, but can I find your church in the Bible? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 reads, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. This, another translation would translate it, a pillar and foundation. Another translation, a pillar and support. The church, this is to be the point where truth is propagated into the community. So what different churches teach, their doctrines, their beliefs, their practices, it matters. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Think about this. The church is making truth known not only throughout the world, but also in heaven. This is a powerful body that is empowered by the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Jesus lives and where he abides and where he dwells. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you may ask the question, how do you know what exactly the truth is? John chapter 17 and verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 in the New King James reads, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What does that mean exactly? Now that means that if anyone speaks, let it be with the utterances of God. And so when we ask people to consider just how exactly will I identify Christ Church, we've got to know that it's based upon finding the truth, and that truth is found in the Word of God, and that there must be within our hearts an ability and a quest for which we seek God and his truth and his word. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the text reads, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So let me ask you to think about this. Here you are on a hunt. You're on this mission. And you want to find more than anything else the church that you read about in the pages of the New Testament. Many options abound in the religious marketplace. You look in on very different corners and you'll see different churches that are in different places. How might you go about finding the Lord's church? May I ask you tonight to consider this? If finding a church turns on personal preference, for example, what I mean by that is if finding a church turns on what a close friend thinks is a valuable church or what a family member believes is a valuable church or feeling a certain connection with a certain group of people, or maybe you walk into a body of people who are assembled and you sense a great overwhelming hospitality there. Maybe you go to a place and you see very ornate facilities and maybe thousands of people are there assembled on a certain Sunday. Or maybe there's some other factor. Let me ask you this. Is it possible that when personal preference is driving our decision, is it possible that it could be that I could miss Christ's church? You see, no matter what you want to hear or believe, when we look in the religious marketplace tonight, there's probably some group that will endorse whatever you want to believe, religiously speaking. Religious marketplace is pretty diverse. If you want to believe a certain point of view, if you take a certain position on certain moral issues and spiritual issues and things of that nature, there's probably some religious body out there that says exactly what you want to hear. But I want to ask you this, friend, and loved one, and neighbor. Do you want to know what Christ has said about his church? Do you want to know about the body that he purchased with his own precious blood? Do you want to go back all the way to the first century and see what the church looked like in the pages of Scripture and to see the very first disciples, what they were doing, and to learn about salvation, to learn about worship, and to learn about what church leadership looks like? I want to invite you, friends, that you can find that. I want to help you to find it. Because when we think about it, you won't have the time in your lifetime. You don't have this great number of years to visit every church in the world tonight. But what you can find is truth. You see, sometimes people visit a church or a congregation and they find that it's loving and they find that the people are friendly. Someone may choose a church because the members are kind, they're compassionate. This would certainly identify Christians. John chapter 13 and verse 35, the Bible says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Being loving is certainly part of identifying Christ's church. You might go to a religious organization and you may find that they're invested in missions. Multiple churches do all sorts of missions and they build houses and they have medical clinics and they have homeless shelters and food pantries and foreign evangelism. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You might find beautiful facilities. You might find active multiple ministries. You might find large numbers in certain places and people that are publicly and politically influential. You may have a friend that says, hey, come to my congregation because my mayor worships there, or the governor worships there, or the president worships there, or this political party worships there. Maybe the case that your best friend worships at a certain church tonight, or your parents, or a spouse. And while these factors may be influential, I want to ask you to reach for something more. I want to ask you to reach for the truth. And while these factors may be influential in a decision, I want to invite you to do what the Bible says to do, to buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. And since Jesus said that you can know the truth and the truth will set you free, you can know the truth about which church you ought to settle down comfortably and fellowship with and serve until you lay your life down in the grave or until the Lord returns. Number two tonight, I want to invite you to think with me about this, that there are some key biblical identifiers in Scripture that identify precisely what Christ's church is. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible reads, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus said that based on that confession that Peter gave, that he was the Christ, the anointed one of God, he would build his church. That is an assembling of people who gather together for the great cause of Christ. And Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, when you look for a church, look for the church that was established by Christ. Look for the church that was established with his blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul would tell the Ephesian elders to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. His church proclaims that salvation is only in Christ's name. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That means that there are no saved, accountable people outside of Christ. You've got to be in Christ to be saved. There is the seed principle that is important in the body of Christ. Seed produces after its kind. There is a parable in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 that goes like this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God brings forth a powerful fruit. The seed is of God. It is the word of God, and it's powerful and it's potent. The seed bears after its kind. The seed bears what the master intended. You see, if it's a human seed, it will bear forth human wisdom. But if it's divine seed, it will bear forth divine wisdom. We look in the natural world tonight, and we can see that when we plant certain seeds, that it bears forth a certain cultivar of fruit. So it is with the word of God. Romans chapter 1 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The seed principle, that is, from God to humanity. We can know the fruit of God throughout the world tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the scripture reads, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh, verse 24, is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. You see, the good news was bearing forth fruit, this living and abiding word. It's imperishable. You have that access to that through Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, when we think about identifying it, well, it's established by Christ. It's purchased with its blood. It employs the seed principle, and it's deeply invested in the word. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. People who received the word, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, the scripture reads, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. Let me say this as kindly as I can tonight. With all the love and humility that I can say, and I don't mean this tonight to sound offensive, although it may be to certain people or certain groups. But you can't take only the Bible and end up in a denomination. I want to say that again in a loving way. You simply cannot take the Bible alone and end up in a denomination. You see, in the first century, the church, it wasn't divided. And the church had its problems there. But Christ and the apostles would help guide the church. The Holy Spirit, through the apostles, would help guide them into all truth. And friend, tonight, I want you to see that you can take just the Bible and believe and practice and obey the Bible. Here's an important principle. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul would write to Timothy, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He says, follow the pattern. Interestingly, that same Greek word for pattern in 2 Timothy 1:13 is a word that's translated example in 1 Timothy 1:16. Listen to this. Paul would write, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. What's the point here? The pattern is in the person of Jesus Christ. in his perfect patience as an example. The pattern is in the person, 1 Timothy 1:16. The pattern is also in the words that proceed from the person in principle. Follow the pattern, he would say in 2 Timothy 1:13. You can identify the church by following the example of Jesus Christ and following the pattern that comes forth from his teaching. The church was delivered and transferred out of darkness into the kingdom. In Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And when we cross essential lines, we end up in Christ. We end up putting on Christ. The late Thomas B. Warren said this, "The Bible teaches that it is impossible for one to cross the line into salvation without crossing the line into Christ." What was he saying? He was saying that when you enter into Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, where all spiritual blessings are, when you put on Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." You see, it is impossible for one to cross the line into salvation without crossing the line into Christ. The Bible also teaches, as Warren would go on to say, that it is impossible for one to cross the line into Christ without crossing the line into the church. So if you know people that say, "Give me Jesus, but listen, I'm not about organized religion," I want to say to you kindly that when a person receives Jesus, when a person put on Jesus in baptism, that the Lord adds them to his church. In fact, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." What's the point? The point is this. There is a technical nuance in Scripture that no one joins Christ's church. What do I mean? I know sometimes people will say, "Hey, I want you to come and visit where I worship. I want you to come and I want you to even consider joining my church." People will say that in common language and in common usage, but I want you to see this in Scripture according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, that it's the Lord who adds the saved to his church. I want to ask you to consider this tonight, friends. Have you joined the church that whereby the Lord would add you to his church? In other words, the focus sometimes shifts to what the believer is doing. But I want you to consider what Jesus is doing on behalf or upon the believer. Christ is the head of his church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." It's not a pleasant thought tonight, friends, to think about people being lost. It'll hurt your heart to dwell on that. Your heart, your eyes may well up with tears because of people that are lost. It's no pleasant thought at all. It's no occasion of rejoicing. It is quite painful sometimes to think about that there are, in fact, people that are in certain churches, and those people are, in fact, lost. You can't reject the truth and please God. You can't sow a seed that's not the word of God and expect to be pleasing to God. You can't stand against God's word and expect to please him. False teaching flies in the face of God. And at its core, it's man saying, "God, I have a better way. I have a different way. It's my way." So many faiths abound, not because God is the originator of confusion, but because man wanted it his way. And so he set up his assembly on a certain corner, and you can go back hundreds of years and see corner after corner throughout the world where man is saying, and it's flying in the face of God, God, I have a better way tonight, friends. We call you to the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, you'll find a church where people are of the same mind and the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1:10, where people have the same love and are of full accord, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, where people are of one body, Ephesians chapter 4, and one spirit, and one hope, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, and one God, and one Father, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, because in that church, it wears a certain name. It's a name because it belongs to certain God, Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ salute you. The church is comprised of people that wear Christ's name. And when you go to that church, you'll see that they're singing Colossians 3:16. They're praying 1 Thessalonians 5:17. They're partaking of the Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They're giving 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. And they're hearing a message, an offering, as the people come up underneath the Word of God. They're hearing an offering of the preacher up to God as he proclaims the very Word of God. They're calling forth the praises and the glory of God in this sermon moment. He's to be speaking as the oracles of God. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. I want to encourage you tonight, friends, that in the world, there may be over 45,600 churches for Christ and his church. It is a matter of truth. It is a matter of loyalty. I want to ask you to choose the church that Christ would choose. You can find key biblical identifiers of Christ's church in the New Testament. You can read about it with your own eyes. You can follow it. You can love her. Christ will save you. It's not an arrogant thing to claim that you're a Christian. It's not an arrogant claim to share the gospel with other people. It's not arrogant and it's not unkind to say, hey, I can't go along with you here because this isn't part of Christ's teaching or his word. Tonight you can be a Christian. But you'll, as the late Brother Warren would say, you will have to admit that you're a sinner. You'll have to admit that you need God's wonderful grace. That you can be a Christian tonight, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe in that word, John 8:24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You've got to repent, Luke 13:3. The Bible would say, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you must confess, Jesus, that he died and that he rose, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then live faithfully, Revelation 2:10, all the days of your life. What Christ offers tonight, it's not just another denomination, not just another set of beliefs, not just another man-made doctrine. God invites you tonight to be his child, to be a part of his church. Can you identify Christ's church tonight? You know you can. May God give you the strength to seek it, to find it, to believe it, and to put your all into what he put his all in. Become a member of Christ's church. Be a child of God and do it tonight. Brother Tommy, thank you so much tonight for the opportunity to be with you and to share this word. Our prayer tonight is that it will bless all the hearers. It's a delight to be on your program.